What kind of God do we have? What is God? What is God like? Perhaps some think that God is like the Force, you know, from Star Wars. This impersonal, powerful thing that does stuff. Some people think God is like a genie, you know, like from Aladdin. Just, hey, I need something. Could you help me? Some people think that God is a cosmic policeman, like RoboCop. Just checking off. Good, bad, good, bad, good, bad. If you do too much bad, I'm just going to send you to hell to burn forever because you deserve it. Or if you do enough good, I'm going to bring you with me to heaven. Some people think God is like a cosmic policeman. Some people think God is like a genie. And some people perhaps think that God is like the Force. But who is God? Really? What kind of God do we have? Listen to Peter, to how he starts off. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified His servant Jesus. Which God has done this wonderful thing? What is God like? It is the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. It's the God of your ancestors. You know this God because He has been revealing Himself to you since the beginning of human history and preparing to reveal Himself to you since before that. He has entered into a covenant with you, Peter says, 2,000 years ago. And I say to you today, began that covenant 4,000 years ago. Who is God? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. The true God is not an impersonal force who just, you know, holds the world in existence and does cool stuff. Though God does hold the world in existence and does do cool stuff. God is not just a cosmic genie, though He does desire to give good things to us, His children. And God is not a cosmic policeman or Santa Claus who will give you coal in your stocking if you do bad or presents in your stocking if you do good. God is concerned about all those things. God does hold the universe in existence. God does want to give us good things. And, well, whether we do right or wrong is actually important. And if we persevere in mortal sin, at the time of our death, we will, please God, no, but we will go to hell. And if we do well and we live in relationship with God, we're going to go to heaven. But the point of morality and the point of God's gift and the point of God creating the earth and the seas and the fish and the beasts and the sun and the moon and the stars and the entire universe came down to, He showed us at Abraham. He showed us in Genesis chapter 2 and chapter 1. He showed us with Noah and He showed us with Abraham. And God says, I have come to make a covenant with you. What does that mean? God, the Bible says, made a covenant with Adam and with Noah and with Abraham. God said to Abraham, so to speak, I want you to enter into my family. That's what a covenant means. A covenant is a sacred family bond between persons. God, we know now, was saying to Abraham, Abraham, I want you to be part of my family. What kind of God do we have? We have a God who is a person. And in fact, not one person, but three persons. And St. John Paul II teaches us that we have a God who is a family. And so when God comes to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob and to you and to me, He says, I want you to enter in to my family. I want, God says, to enter into relationship with you. I want you to live as part of my family, to rest in the embrace of your Father. God is Father and Son and Holy Spirit. And the Father, we know, always gives Himself to the Son. And the Son receives the love of the Father, and the love between the Father and the Son is the Holy Spirit. And when God comes out to us, when God makes a covenant with Abraham, and when God brings you and me into the renewed covenant, the fulfillment of the covenant to Adam and to Noah and to Abraham and to David, and now the covenant in Jesus' blood, He brings us into this new covenant when we come here to baptism. We become sons and daughters of God. We become part of His family. He brings us into relationship. And that's who our God is. Our God is a personal God. Our God is a God who wants nothing else than to bring us into relationship with Him. And so if sitting in this chair is a symbol of relationship with God, if the chair is a symbol for God, God brings me into relationship. And here's what often happens. Maybe this has never happened to you, but to other people, this kind of stuff happens. I realize that sometimes I do bad things. Sometimes I go out of relationship with God. Sometimes I get distracted. I'm here, I'm brought into relationship with God, I'm praying, and I'm going to confession regular, and I'm coming to Mass, and I'm doing good for other people, and then, you know, there's some selfishness somewhere along the way, and I said, man, you know, I like that sin. I kind of want to do that. And just kind of start to nudge, you know, nudge away. Oh man, I like that one too. That looks good. Well, maybe, you know, it's not really gossip if it's the truth, is it? Well, you know, that website on the internet, it's not that bad. It could be worse. Only a little bit of money at the casino. All of a sudden, I'm take one sin, and then another sin, and then another sin, and then pretty soon, God's like way over there, it feels like, and I'm like way over here. It's like, what's going on? And then sometimes, you know, we get way over here, and then January happens, and New Year comes, and I make a New Year's resolution, and I break my New Year's resolution, and I'm aggravated at myself because I broke my New Year's resolution, but praise God, Lent's coming around, and I'm like, yeah, Lent. Let me get back over there. And so for Lent, like, I'm going to Mass more, or I'm going to Mass at all. I go to confession. I start to pray, maybe every day. I do something, and some things happen in Lent. And I'm like, you know what? Those sins, that actually didn't make me happy. I actually didn't like it being over there, because, like, all the time after I would sin, the next day it was, man, that wasn't really worth it. And so I come over here, and I end up, like, back in relationship with God, because praise God for Lent. And then Easter comes, and then, hallelujah, Christ is risen. I can eat meat and drink beer again, both of which are good things. But because I can eat meat and drink beer again, all of a sudden, I'm out of the chair already. And it's only 2 weeks after Easter. Man. Okay, so that happens to other people. And maybe that's where some of us are today. It's 2 weeks after Easter, and just kind of lost track of staying in relationship. So that's what the next 4 weeks are going to be about, between now and the Ascension. At a few places in the diocese, we're doing this series of homilies called Choosing to Choose. And it's all about how, man, so many times, just 2 weeks after Lent, we find ourselves like it feels as though God's over there, and I'm just kind of back over here where I was before Lent. And we're going to be talking about it over the next few weeks. We'll be talking about it at Christ the Redeemer. Father Simon Peter is going to be talking about it here. We're going to be talking about it at a few other places in the diocese. That, you know, what if? What if we recommitted? What if our lives were actually better because of what we did for Lent? What if some of the things that we did for Lent, maybe some of our fasting or our giving to the poor or our prayer, our additional prayer, maybe some of the things that we did for Lent, maybe they kept us here in relationship with God. And maybe we got a little distracted in the celebrations of Easter, and maybe we want to celebrate even better. And maybe now we need to choose to stay in relationship. And today, y'all, today's the prelude to the series. We're not going to talk today about the things to do to stay in the chair, because there's something that we had to talk about today that makes the next 4 weeks make sense. The image fails because we're not in relationship with a chair. It's just a thing. But God desires a personal relationship with you and with me. That God entered into a covenant with Abraham. That God entered into a covenant with you and with me on the day of our baptism. That God desired so much to be in relationship that He became a human being. God, who is totally other, who is totally different from us, said, I want you so badly to be part of my family that I am going to become a human being. It wasn't enough for me to create you. It wasn't enough for me to make a covenant with you. But no, I desire, said God, to become a human being like you, to take you into my family. But that wasn't enough either. God said, you have sinned and you deserve to die. But I'm not going to kill you for your sins. I am going to die in your place. And that would have been enough, but that wasn't enough either. God, because Jesus Christ is both God and man, and because God can't die, when Jesus dies, death is broken. And Jesus, as a man and as God, rises from the dead and has a glorified human body. Don't we all want a glorified human body? No death, no disease, can run and not grow weary, no wrinkles, no tiredness. He rises from the dead, takes on a glorified human body, and that would have been enough. But after 40 days, He takes that human body and He ascends into heaven with His body. And what does He do? He fulfills what He had began in the first place. He takes humanity into the family of God. Do you understand? God, who is Spirit, took upon a body, and Jesus Christ, by His ascension, 40 days after His resurrection, took humanity into the Trinity, into the family of God, and He invites you and me to come up hither, to come up, like He tells St. John, and to follow Him through the cross, in the resurrection, to the kingdom of heaven. There, where your joy will be complete. There, when you and I will have life and have it to the fullest. And He wants that life to the full. He wants us to begin living heaven even now, to begin living the joy by staying in relationship with Him. Because He is a person, because He desires you, and He desires me. So there's 6 weeks left in the Easter season. I don't know where you are, or I don't know how your Lent was, or where you are now. I don't know if you're right here, real close to Him like all the time, or if you're way over here and in the back of the church. I don't know that. But I do know that wherever you are, that God is reaching out to you. I do know that wherever you are, God didn't just want this to be the best Lent you ever had, but that God wants this to be the best Easter that you ever had, and that God wants to change your life. So for the 6 weeks of Easter that we have left, let's let Him.